This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. COVID-19 has killed more than 1 million people worldwide since it was first detected 10 months ago. Here in the United States, that number is over 200,000 people who have died. The virus has stopped the world in its tracks and has devastated communities. And in Wisconsin, more than 2,000 cases a day are being recorded, and hospitalizations are at an all-time high. Here's Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers at a press briefing yesterday.
Right now, it's not slowing down. It's picking up speed. We have got to put the brakes on this pandemic. Skip the play dates, the dinner parties, the family get-togethers, and work conferences, or any other gatherings with people you don't live with for the time being. Wear masks whenever you are around folks that you do not want to live with.
But Wisconsin is not alone. About half of the states in the United States are reporting increases in new cases. Even New York, where COVID was on the downturn, recently reported more than 1,000 new cases for the first time since June, and most of those are concentrated in a handful of neighborhoods. Here's Governor Andrew Cuomo addressing the cluster of cases in Brooklyn, Queens, and Rockland and Orange counties.
These are embers that are starting to catch fire in dry grass. Send all the firefighting equipment and personnel to those embers and stamp out the embers right away.
With me now is Rob Mentzer, rural communities reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also joining me is Bill Hannage, an associate professor of epidemiology at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Bill, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, Tansy. It's good to be here.
Bill, where we mentioned New York and Wisconsin, are there specific trends that are spurring these outbreaks that we're seeing, these spikes?
Yeah, indeed. After we had a pretty bad spring in New York, and then the Sun Belt had a pretty bad summer, we're now seeing shifting to the Midwest, and the Midwest is where we're seeing quite a lot right now. I mean, it's a sparsely populated area, but still, taken all together, a lot of people live there, and I'm going to be really interested to hear about what's going on the ground in Wisconsin. Meanwhile, places like Massachusetts and New York are beginning to see upticks, although I should say upticks from very, very low levels of transmission. There's been a lot of really good and really hard work done here. And it's been very, very, you know, it's been extremely helpful. However, we cannot let up just yet.
Rob, let's talk about Wisconsin specifically. What do we know is leading to this increase in the spike in cases in the state?
So the spike in Wisconsin really started at the beginning of September, and that coincided with the opening up of schools in a lot of communities and the opening up of college campuses across the state. So in the early first 2 weeks of September, the numbers among especially young people, especially in college towns, shot up. And there were these steep, steep increases among people 18 to 20. In the last 2 weeks, their numbers have come down. They have not had nearly as many new infections among those young adults, but every other age group has shot up. And so it's led to this like very large, near exponential growth in Wisconsin.
Bill, one of the things that I think is most concerning here in addition, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, is that we're heading into the fall, or here in the fall, and we're heading into a winter season where most of us will be indoors. I wonder if that is something that's concerning to you as you see these spikes across the country.
Yes, it really certainly is. I just want to say, based on what we just heard there, that pattern of younger people getting infected and then it moving from those age groups into older age groups and that leading to hospitalizations, you know, is there a word for deja vu over and over again? Because that's basically what we've seen over and over again. And so that's something which is we really, really need to be prepared for. I would also say that if you think about what's been happening around New York City as well in those particular neighborhoods, some of what we're seeing there may be the result of gatherings which have been taking place over the high holy days. And that is something which should give us a little bit of insight into what we might expect when we start looking forward to things like Thanksgiving.
There have been suggestions to not celebrate holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas in person, Bill. I'd love to dig into that in a little bit. But Rob, wasn't there a mask mandate in Wisconsin? Do people support it, or has it been politicized?
Well, you know, it certainly is politicized, as things are these days. there has been polling on the mask mandate in Wisconsin, and it has like super majority support in the state, and significantly it has majority support in all regions of the state, even in more, you know, sort of red or Republican voting areas of the state. Most people have been supportive of the mask mandate. On the other hand, as time goes on, you know, I think that everyone can observe that compliance is not perfect. And there's not a lot of enforcement. And really what has happened in Wisconsin is that people are to a large extent doing normal things. They talk about COVID fatigue or other factors, but people are going to youth sporting events and they're having parties for the Packers games and holding weddings that may have been postponed for the summer. And so it's a million little decisions that bring people together and create opportunities for the virus to spread.
Bill, when you hear that, what do you think has to stop? And not just in Wisconsin, but across the country as we're seeing these spikes. Is it people need to start wearing masks, not as chin straps, but as actual masks? Is it not gathering? What is happening here?
Well, like we just heard, it is a million little decisions. Now, when it comes to things like mask use, yes, if you wear a mask as a chin strap, it's not going to help. Remember, your mask is not so much to protect you as to protect others in case you're infected. You can make sure it fits well over your nose and around your chin, and you know, you can find out about that elsewhere. The issue that what we need to do is we need to be confronting the fact that this is a dangerous virus, and it is something that we're going to be living with for, you know, some time at least. And that means that we all have to make sacrifices. We all have to not do things that we would really like to do.
But Bill, Americans don't like hearing that.
I know. I don't like it either. However, the thing which is worse is that we also have to remember that other people are just not going to listen. So it's unfortunate that there are going to be some freeloaders who are going to be trying to benefit from all the kind of, you know, the kind of sacrifices that others are making. But really, the best way to do this is to keep the virus under control by limiting the opportunities for transmission. Now, eradicating it or eliminating it is another thing entirely. But what we can do is try and stop the sort of things that we're seeing in Wisconsin right now.
Rob, we heard from Governor Evers at the top of the show there, reminding people to cancel play dates, not have dinner parties, not have work events. Wisconsin is also a critical state in the presidential election, as I'm sure you all are very aware of. How are you seeing this spike? I mean, are people going to come out to the polls in just a couple of weeks if this spike continues?
So Wisconsin, like other states, has had a huge surge in absentee ballot requests. And as the presidential candidates like to say, the election is happening now because people are receiving and returning their absentee ballots. Wisconsin sort of went through this in April, the presidential primary, and there was a statewide Supreme Court election that came right at the time when America was locking down, and there was a lot of controversy about that spring election. The governor had proposed to postpone the election, and that did not happen. The Supreme Court threw that out, and the election moved forward. And it's been studied since then, and there really is not a lot of evidence that a lot of new COVID-19 transmissions happened as a result of that election. And the reason for that, as best the studies can tell, is that a whole bunch of people voted by absentee, which is happening again. And the polling places themselves took a lot of precautions to, you know, with shields and barriers and face masking, and were able to move people through in a way that I think that evidence should give, you know, should make people less nervous. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't take precautions, like vote absentee if you can, like by all means do that. But I think that it's unlikely that this spike will cause people not to participate in the November election, which everyone is very focused on.
And what about the local response? As I said, we heard from Governor Evers at the top reminding people not to gather. But what else have Wisconsin officials done? Are they out in force, you know, handing out masks? Are there public service announcements? Like, what else are local and government officials, state officials doing to prevent the spread?
Sure. So we've certainly reached the phase where officials at all levels are sounding the alarm. The hospital system is strained in parts of the state. It is overloaded, and COVID-19 patients are being transferred. It's very bad. And the thing that follows hospitalizations is deaths. We're going to see that increase as well. But Wisconsin is in a slightly a bit of a unique situation, because in May, the state Supreme Court threw out the governor's stay-at-home order and overturned most of the governor's ability to sort of order closures or other public health measures. Even the mask mandate is the subject of new litigation now and a legal challenge. So the legislature here is controlled by Republicans. They have not wanted to meet or pass any new sort of statewide measures. And so what officials say is what they're largely, the tool that they have is persuasion. So it's trying to get the word out, but there isn't that much that that the state government is doing in terms of like actions that would slow the spread.
And Bill, we're seeing that different states have approached this this virus differently, from New York to Wisconsin to Florida, where recently the governor there just decided to remove all COVID-19 restrictions. Bill, we're heading into the winter. What are tips for listeners so that they can deal with the transition into winter as the pandemic continues to go on? I mean, there really doesn't feel to be an end in sight, at least right now. How do we protect ourselves? We've got about a minute and a half to go.
Well, indeed, I think that people need to recognize, remember, this is a marathon, not a sprint. Come up with things they can do which are sustainable. You know, we have to remember there's a difference between, you know, risks to ourselves and risks to our communities. Risks to young people, for instance, the most severe consequences of infection are very uncommon in those who are quite young. However, they can obviously transmit to others. We want to limit that transmission. We want to limit surges building. And I have to say, when you look at somewhere like Florida, that's somewhere which is, I would expect to have problems, because Florida is taking a very similar course to the one which Israel took a little while ago. And Israel, you know, it reopened, and, you know, not long after, it's now in its second lockdown. So we want to avoid further lockdowns. Reopening thoroughly is not a way to avoid a second lockdown.
Well, we're going to see how this happens, a very serious issue as we move into colder weather. Bill Hanage is an associate professor of epidemiology at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And Rob Menser is a rural communities reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.